We're gathered here this morning because we knew and loved Millie Wirt. She is the common bond that brings us here this morning. And we're here to honor her life. The second common bond that brings us here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loved Millie, and Millie loved Jesus. And we're here to worship the Lord as well as to remember Millie. So welcome to this service this morning of remembering and worship. Thank you for being here to remember Mildred Wirt and to be with the family at this time to encourage them as we reflect on her life and as we worship her Lord and our Lord. To Charles, Sharon and Richard, Sandy and Devon, Brendan, Joseph, Byron and Jeanette, and to your families, may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you and be your comfort today and in the days to come. Each of us has a story of our relationship with Millie, how we came to know her, what she meant to us. Her obituary describes her as a woman of generous hospitality who enjoyed welcoming people. And any of us who knew her would say, yes, that's Millie. I recall meeting your mothers, Sandy and Devon, when you were serving in Philadelphia in volunteer service and relating with the Oxford Circle congregation. And Charlie, on occasion, you and Millie would visit your daughter and son-in-law and also join us in worship at Oxford Circle. And I have this fond memory of Millie coming to me afterwards, sharing words of affirmation and encouragement after the Sunday service. I was impressed with her reaching out to me. She was the guest. I was the home church pastor. But she came with her warm greeting and affirmation, words of affirmation, probably about the morning sermon or whatever. And I still remember that. More recently, I've connected with Charlie and Millie at Landis Hums, where I work as a chaplain. In the Lidditz personal care house, Millie was an active participant in the weekly devotional that we had, joining enthusiastically in singing. As we know, the disease of Alzheimer's gradually stole from her the person that we knew as Millie Wirt. It's been a long, slow, and painful goodbye. Charlie, you and your family have been lovingly present and supportive of Millie through this difficult journey. She may not have known you in the recent past, but you knew her as loving wife and loving mother and grandmother. And God knew Millie and loved Millie and still loves Millie now in his eternal presence. Millie has always been embraced by God's love and held in God's memory and grace. The team members in the Lancaster Healthcare House, where Millie has been more recently, loved her. They remember her as a beautiful person who was kind and gentle, and they wish they had known her years earlier. They remember her face lighting up when she greeted them or when she greeted you as family, and her chuckle as she actively and apparently somewhat competitively participated in the balloon ball toss. And her hospitality continued when occasionally she would reach over to pat the hand of the resident sitting next to her in the living room. Mildred Millie Wirt, 82, of Lidditz, went home to meet her Lord on January 25th, 2019, surrounded by her loving family. Born in East Earl, Pennsylvania, on March 9, 1936, she was the daughter of the late Irvin and Edna Martin Gingrich. She married Charles Wirt on May 9, 1956, and they celebrated 62 years of marriage. She is survived by her children, Sharon, married to Richard Kaufman of Columbia, Sandra, married to Devon Groff of Landisville, Brenda, married to Joseph Berthold of Lancaster, and Byron, married to Jeanette Wirt of Willow Street. She would honor to 11 grandchildren, Dr. Greta and Jordan and Caitlin and Andrew Kaufman, Adrian, Groff, Alicia, Levy, Austin and Andre Groff, Dominic and Jeremy, Berthold and Benjamin Wirt. She also has 5 great-grandchildren, with 1 on the way in June. She was predeceased by a grandson, Micah Berthold. Millie was the oldest of 7 children. Surviving are her siblings, Lorraine, married to Amos Hess, Carl, married to Ruth Ann Gingrich, Kenneth, married to Judy Gingrich, Irvin Jr., married to Marlene Gingrich, Lois Ann, married to E.B. Hershey, and Susan, married to Nelson Martin. Millie was a member of Groffville Mennonite Church and West End Mennonite Fellowship. In 1965, Millie became a pastor's wife and enjoyed the years of ministry shared with her husband, with Groffville Mennonite Church and the churches of the Groffville District, New Providence Mennonite Church, and West End Mennonite Fellowship. She also enjoyed her job at New Holland Reuse It store prior to her retirement. Millie greatly enjoyed music, especially Southern gospel, playing the piano, that was new, I didn't know that, reading and being with people. She had the gift of generous hospitality, and with her great sense of humor, welcomed and enjoyed being with many people. Most of all, she enjoyed being a grandmother and great-grandmother. Family would like to thank the staff of Landis Homes for their care of our mother and their care for you as a family, and also to thank the hospice and community care for their support as you walked this journey. I'd like to read selections from Psalm 16, and I invite you to think of these words as Millie's testimony also of her faith in the Lord and the God's care for her. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I invite you to join me in prayer. O God, our loving and eternal Father, creator and sustainer of life, we worship you this day as our refuge and strength and a very present help in our time of need. We bow our hearts before you in humble worship. This morning we have thankful hearts for the gift of your faithful servant, Millie Wirt, to her family, to the church and community, and her large circle of friends. Thank you for the privilege of our lives being touched by Millie's life, and touched, O God, by your love shared through her with us. We worship you as the God of all comfort, who comforts us so that we may comfort others with the comfort you have given us. Comfort, we pray, this dear family, Charlie and children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, siblings. Be their strength and grant them deep peace through your Son, Jesus, the Savior and risen Lord. Holy Spirit, guide us in this service of remembrance and worship as we celebrate Millie's life and honor our Lord. Speak comfort to us in the songs of praise we sing, the scripture that is preached, and the loving memories that are shared. This we pray, O Lord, with thanksgiving for your gracious salvation through Jesus Christ, your gift of hope and life eternal, and your abiding presence and peace. We offer ourselves in this service to you, loving God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We will be led in time of worship and praise by the West End Mennonite Fellowship worship team. Following that, Bishop Lloyd Hoover will share our meditation this morning. And following that, as we have it in the program, it simply asks if your name is there for you to follow in order as the order of worship is.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful gift of salvation that we can know through Jesus Christ our Lord, that even in the midst of life's hardest times, we can sing, and we have something to sing about. We thank you, Lord, that even in light of all the unknowns about death, you have removed the mystery of death, for you have gone that way yourself, and you've come out the other side of it and are living eternally as the resurrected Jesus. So, Father, as we share in this time together, may you come and preside here. We dedicate this moment to your honor and to the honor of this individual whom you breathed life, your life into, whom we've learned to love and appreciate. May it be for your glory, to the honor of Jesus. Amen. Charlie and Sharon, Sandy, Brenda, Byron, and your spouses, all of you as family, we gather here today around you and share in your grief, share in this loss of someone whom meant as much as she did to you. It is never easy to go through this time of passing of someone whom you love so dear. So may the Lord give you all great grace, more than enough of grace for this moment and for tomorrow and for your future. Millie was a wonderful woman, a godly woman. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Lancaster County has experienced some record-breaking cold weather since her departure. Because where she was, there was warmth. And I'm sure that heaven's a warmer place even since her presence there. She warmed many people in her special way, Her love and her piercing smile always brought life. Charlie, you and Millie brought warmth through your marriage, as many observed, a marriage of 62 years of warmth. As your home was observed and experienced by many through her gift of hospitality, it was always experienced for its warmth. And as your family is experienced, there's much warmth that's experienced through your family. She has left an impression on many and has brought the warmth of Jesus wherever she was experienced. The breath that God breathed into this special life that many of us loved and appreciated, and especially to this beautiful family who call her something more meaningful than Millie, she will be missed. My wife and I have dear appreciation for what we have experienced through her and her husband, Charlie. As I was called to serve in filling his big shoes as a bishop at 38 years of age, I needed somebody to look up to. We needed somebody to look up to. And Charlie and Millie were there. What a blessing. What a blessing to have someone that you can look up to that knows they have a hold of something that's real, that you can trust will be there and care. And we say thank you. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Millie. Thank you, God, for people that are willing to give of themselves and bring life to those that are around them. Well, Millie cared, and she cared enough to even offer some direction for this service today. So we follow her direction as she outlined even the theme for this day. As a pastor's wife, a bishop's wife, she chose the theme for this service. And the theme is simply, I am coming. And she offered direction for us to look into the Word, which is the right place to turn at a time like this. And she directed us to John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:58, and a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1 that we will look at briefly. I want to, though, draw from this text of John 14 as our primary foundation to draw from for this meditation. We know this as a wonderful passage of promise that gives us hope in the midst of the question of what does life after death look like? What kind of hope is there for those that are approaching their last days, of which all of us could probably say we are approaching our last days. It's in light of eternity, our time here is so short that we're in our last days here, each one of us, regardless of whether we have 10 years or 80 years yet, 90 years, 100 years yet. We're in our last days in light of eternity. John 14, verses 1 to 4, Jesus speaks to us, and he says it this way. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." As I looked at this text, as I prepared for this time of sharing this morning, I was immediately convicted about my error in theology that this text brought to me as a correction. As I experienced time by Millie's bedside in her passing, and as we gathered around her bed there, and as I led in a prayer, I found myself thanking Jesus for meeting her on the other side of heaven's door. Well, the reality of it is, Jesus says that I am going to lead you to that place. He says, I have prepared a place for you. He has prepared a place for Millie. He has prepared a place for each one of us. And as this place is prepared for you and in the right timing, I will come to you and I will take you with me to that place. This is not a walk that he meant, that was meant to be a lonely walk. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Good Shepherd, says, I will come and I will meet you here. And on January 25 at 1:35 p.m., he took hands. He took Millie's hand from that room 204 at Landis Homes and led her the rest of the way of the journey across the finish line, across through heaven's door. It wasn't a question as to whether she was going to find him on the other side of the door. No, she was in his arms. We can do this. I've done this before. I know this way. In fact, I am the way. This is the way. There are lots of ways in this world that people are responding to, but there is a way. There's a way that's known to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The God Almighty has made a way. He says, I will come and I will lead you on this way. That's amazing grace. That's incredible love. No wonder when she closed her eyes, it was a very peaceful time, because she no longer needed her physical eyes, because she was seeing things in her spiritual eyes that were far beyond, that attracted her far beyond what she had seen in this world, in all of its beauty and experiences that she had here. So when she chose this theme, I am coming, I believe that it could mean that Jesus is coming, and Jesus was coming for her, and she was aware of that. She trusted him in coming for her. But you know, I also believe that this theme also depicts her response to the call of Jesus on her life. And this wasn't only a call from him saying, "It is now time to come home." No, this was a call that she heard early on in her life. And this call that she responded to as a very young girl was how we got to know Millie Wirt as a follower of Jesus. She responded to this call, responding to a call is something that we learn at a very early age. As a mother would call out to children, say, "Hey, come, it's time for supper." And children would respond sometimes quicker than others, and maybe in saying, "I'm coming," but would typically show up at the dinner table as that invitation was presented. And we respond to many calls throughout life. Even the dentist calls us, the doctor calls us to be at a certain place, to come to his house. We experience calls every Sunday morning around 9 o'clock where we're called to this house of worship, to come and worship the Lord. Much of life is about responding to calls, responding to callings, but this life of following Jesus is responding to a call that's far beyond that of being just called as a bishop's wife or being just called as a pastor's wife. But it's a calling to follow this one whom is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one that knows the way through the obstacles of life, the one that knows the way through the difficulties of life. The call of Jesus is a call to follow him. In John 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish." And that's who he is. He desires to lead in the life of his children, and he will lead them all the way home, the scriptures say. He will never leave us nor forsake us. There aren't any gaps in that road that we are left to feel lonely or feel vulnerable if we trust him and allow him to be that presence to lead us all the way home, not just partway. He's not a halfway God. He doesn't commit himself just halfway or leave us at certain points to have to experience Alzheimer's by ourselves, as difficult as that can be, as his family had to witness over these last years. But he was there. He was carrying her. She didn't have to go that way by herself. He served her well by carrying her the whole way across the finish line so that she could hear the words, "Well done, Millie. Well done, Grandma." And she lived a life of thankfulness for that promise that she could have, that assurance that she could have, knowing that he was faithful and would lead her. And she valued this verse of 1 Corinthians 15:58, where it says, "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." God established the final step in life for his followers as a victory line, a time for celebration, not just a time of completion for weary people, but a time of celebration for those that have triumphed, for those that trusted him, for those that honored him as the Lord of their lives. It's a place of inheritance for the redeemed, an amazing place of inheritance. And she understood this, which gave her hope of glory, as she also valued this passage in 1 Peter 1 and desired for this also to be part of her funeral message here as a testimony of her faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 4, where it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." In some translations, I found this inheritance is as termed a priceless inheritance. It is. Try buying it. It's not going to work. You can't write enough of numbers on a check that's going to suffice to be able to purchase this wonderful free gift for those that have accepted this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and our Lord. It's an incredible inheritance to be able to anticipate glory in this wonderful place that he has prepared for those who love him. Jesus is calling us all to follow him, accept his direction, and trust him as the way. Sarah Young, as many of you would know, as the author of the book entitled Jesus Calling, she was a daughter of a professor and a philosophy major drawn to academia, and she found herself in Switzerland in a secluded mountainous setting back some years ago, and she took a little walk out through the deep snow in this beautiful area overlooking Lake Geneva. And as she was walking, she sensed an amazing warmth come over her. And surprising to her, she addressed this warmth as sweet Jesus. And what she came to know was that Jesus is not just sweet, he's also warm, and draws us to himself and has a lot to share with us in light of giving direction to our life and speaking into our lives. And this became her story as she carried a pen and a pad with her most everywhere she went for the next years. And she would experience Jesus calling out to her and sharing with her direction, sharing with her specifics in regards to life and his promises for her. And she jotted these experiences down, these words that she was hearing from Jesus, and we now know them today as they're published in this book, Jesus Calling. And it has warmed the lives of many, many people as individuals who are even struggling to get in touch with Jesus themselves are able to experience the inspiration of his words that speak so deep into our lives and bring meaning, as he desires for us to experience that. He desires for us to experience deep meaning in our lives. And he is committed to walking faithfully with us and directing our lives. And he uses individuals like Sarah Young to help us understand that, because he desires so much to communicate his love with us and for us to have ways of opening up our own ears to be able to hear him and his words for us as he gives direction to our lives and as he calls out our name and as he leads in the direction of our lives. Jesus continues to call. Following Jesus is a continuous listening for his calling, because he desires to go out in front of us and lead the way. He's a good shepherd that leads the way. He's not driving us with force in this way. He desires to lead the way for us, and His calling, I believe, is as we would experience following someone on a pathway as he looks out over his shoulder and says, it's over here. Follow me. It's over here. This is where you will find it. It's this way. Life in following Christ is a life of following his call. This call is not just one for pastors. This call is not just one for bishops. This call is a call that comes to all. He's not willing that any should perish. He is desiring that everyone would hear his voice and follow his calling. And he says that he will be with us on this journey. In 1 Thessalonians 5, a favorite verse of mine, says, the one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. And he will do it. So it's not about us having to carry this journey of loneliness by ourselves. He will be there. He will help us carry that. He will do it. It's not about us having to carry the weight of the responsibilities of life, the responsibilities of this journey alone. He says he will do it. The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it. He will do it the whole way home, something that we can't do ourselves. We can't bust down the gates of heaven in order to get in. No, we can't do it. But he says he will, for he is the door, and he has the keys to the kingdom of heaven and hell, and we can trust him. We don't have to walk this way alone. We don't have to fear the way, because he will do it. This privilege of following him and responding to his call is not only for special people like Millie Wirt. The call comes to each one of us. And hopefully, each of us here today have learned to respond to this call. This call, and responded in such a way that he will know we are coming. That as this call comes to us, our response has been, I am coming. And that our response will be, I am coming. If you have never responded to that calling, I share here today that there are no memorial flowers or no great contributions to a memorial fund that would come close to honoring the life of Millie Wirt that could be any greater than individuals here today responding to this invitation. Will you follow me by saying, I'm coming. I am coming. What a way. What a place of promise. What a way to take away the mystery of death, but to follow the one who's gone through the bars of death and came out victorious and says, this is the way, follow me. And you too will experience the resurrection of life and experience life eternally with him in glory. I don't know what glory looks like. I've heard experiences, I've heard people describe it, but I sure thought about it on the way here today as I looked at the beauty of the trees, this wonderful, brisk morning. Say, thank you, Lord, that in the homegoing of this precious child of yours that we were able to get a little foretaste of glory by this glorious experience. That seemed like a smile of the Father saying, yes, I know what glory really is. And I want for you to experience it. Let's pray. Father God, you're good. We thank you for caring for us and about us, in each of our experiences, for caring for us along the way, for caring for Millie Wirt, for blessing her with four children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, a wonderful husband. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we can find, the promises that we can know in you, and the reason that we have to have hope in this day, in the midst of all the darkness of our world. We know that you are the light of the world, and we have reason for hope as we trust you. Bless. May your blessing be upon us, and the family, as we go forth a day at a time, trusting you. In your name, amen.